We have a privilege, right? The privilege is that we have the same climate as they do in the Holy Land. So when we read the agricultural analogies from our Bible, it makes sense to us. Unlike the people who live in the Midwest, when they read the agricultural analogies, they don't make a lot of sense for them. There are two parables here that are real close together. One is that very famous parable of the sower who went out to sow, you know, and he throws the grain around and it lands on the rocks or in the weeds or, you know, all that parable. Well, this isn't that parable. It follows it immediately, however, in the scriptures. The hero in this parable is the soil, not the sower. The hero in this parable is the soil. For in the soil, the seed is nurtured and the seed grows. Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. In Jesus' day, they had agriculture in what we called dry ground grain farming. Dry ground grain farming. We did dry ground grain farming here in this area right up until after the Second World War when we started doing irrigation. My grandfather, my father in his early days, did dry ground grain farming. In the fall, they went out and scattered the seeds. And then they prayed a lot, but then they waited. As Jesus said, they went to bed at night, they woke up in the morning, and they went to bed at night, and they woke up in the morning, and there was really nothing else to do until harvest. What an amazing kind of time farming that might have been, huh? You planted it in the fall, and the next thing you had to do was harvest in May or June. There was nothing else to do. Nothing to make the grain grow faster or better or stronger. Nothing to make the rain come sooner or later. There was nothing. Richard, how would that be? Nothing else to do. Between November and June. Oh, I know, they went out and they tinkered with the machinery in the shed. Fix things, right? But there was really nothing else to do. All the farmer had to do was to go to bed at night and wake up in the morning and wait for the grain to grow. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like this. What does this require of us? What does this require of us to live in the kingdom of God? It requires, as Sandy was talking to the children, patience. Patience. You can't make it grow any faster. Patience. And faith, faith that it will, when you planted one seed, it is actually going to, when you planted grain, it's actually going to be grain and not, you know, sunflowers. Faith and hope. The hope that the harvest will indeed be rich and full and good. We have sown the seed. We wait patiently. This is what we are called to do, to be patient. Now we wait. If we get anxious about whether the seed is growing or not, will that anxiousness make the seed grow better? Sandy was talking about the seeds in the little bucket, right? I don't know how many of you as children put seeds in a little ground or, you know, in the window box or whatever, and then in about 3 days went in and dug up the seed to see if they were really growing, right? And when you dug up the seed, what happened? If it had sprouted, what happens? Huh? What was that? You ruined it. All of our anxiousness, all of our anxiety. Okay, if patience is living in the kingdom of God, anxiety is living in, what does Jesus call this? Often he calls it living in the kingdom of the world. Now, my brother told me I should preach hellfire and damnation, so let me just tell you that if you live in anxiety, you are living in hell. I know, because I live there a whole lot. It is not living in God's kingdom, because in God's kingdom there is faithful, hopeful patience with what's going on. Patience that God is indeed working the soil. The soil is indeed cradling the seed, and the seed will grow. Patience with that. It's our job in this patience to wait in all kinds of circumstances. Once you have a child, does anxiety help you raise that child? The more anxious you get, the more anxious you get. Patience to let the child become who God wants the child to be. Patience. And you, as a church, are working through some difficult days. Your pastor's working through some difficult days. Does anxiety about that help? No. Patience to see what God will do, nurturing the seed that is to be. Patient waiting on the Lord. The opposite again of patience is anxiety. The second thing that we need to look at with this seed is faith. Faith that indeed the seed will grow and the harvest will come. We have seen in years past, we planted the seed, in years past the rain came, and in years past we got a harvest. Faith that God will indeed bring the harvest to us. Faith is very important. Living in faith is again living in the kingdom of God. The opposite of faith isn't faithlessness. The opposite of faith, folks, is worry. Because trust, what faith is trust. Trusting God. With our lives, with our children, with our church. Trusting God with it. The opposite of trust is worry. And I am such a good worrier. I come from a long line of good worriers. You all did not know my grandmother Mabel, but she was one of the best worriers that the world has ever known. She could worry about anything. And so can I. Worry is the opposite of faith. So, if we're living in faith, we live in, Jesus says, the kingdom of God. Let me try this again. If we're living in faith, Jesus says we are living in the kingdom of God. If we live in worry, I'll just say we're living in the kingdom of this world, which tells us that we really should worry. Which kingdom are we living in? True, there are some things that are worrisome, and there are some things that are fearful. But if we live in that kingdom, we live with ulcers and headaches and sleepless nights. Does that sound like living in the kingdom of God? No. And finally, there is hope. We put the seed in the ground and we trust the soil. We have patience. We trust the soil. And we have sure and certain hope that the harvest will come. Now, living in the kingdom of God is living in hope. The opposite of hope is fear. Fear. I'm afraid the harvest won't come. And then what are we going to do? Living in fear. And fear is so seductive. Did you notice that? Somebody tells you, you should be afraid of... fill in the blank. And you begin to think, well, maybe I should be. There are those who bring fear to us. There are people who spend their whole lives trying to make us afraid. Afraid of the outsider, afraid of somebody of a different color, afraid of, well, you know, the commercials tell us that we should be afraid of wrinkles because then we should buy what they want to sell us to, you know, and it's motivational, right? Fear motivates people to behave irrationally and fearfully. That is not living in the kingdom of God. That's living in the kingdom of this world. And oh my goodness, it's all around us, isn't it? Living in the kingdom of God is living with hope. Not vain hope, not wishful. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is trusting the one who is in charge of everything. Hope is that which will not fail. And so we hope. We live in the kingdom of God with hope. And so we order our lives. We listen to this parable that says, the kingdom of God is like this. The seed is planted. And by itself, in the soil, it will grow, calling us to live in that kingdom with patience, with faith, and with hope. Amen.